Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. One of the major causes for the rejection of the truth of God is a hardened heart, a closed mind, a complete unwillingness to submit, regardless of the evidence. And many times truth is rejected not because it has not been presented, not because opportunity was denied to hear it, but because the heart is so tightly closed that no one will even be convinced. It is not until the one who possesses such a heart will open it to the truth and pay attention to the testimony and the evidence of the truth that good fruit can be produced in his life. Now, we often read in the Bible of people who have hardened their hearts. In Mark 6 and verse 52, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Some would not even be impressed by the reality of the miracle that Jesus had done. It was not because the miracle was fraudulent or unreal, nor because they had not witnessed it, but because they were determined not to believe. In Mark 8 and verse 17, "And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, Why reason ye, because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened?" Here we find a rebuke by Jesus. Provisions had not been brought, and they concluded none could be obtained. And even though they had witnessed the feeding of the 5,000 and of the 4,000 with loaves and fishes, their comprehension, their trust, their confidence in Christ was still confused. Why? It was because of a hardened heart. Jesus said, "Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen." Mark 16:14. You see, even as late as after his resurrection, the apostles were suffering from a hardness of heart that caused them to have doubts and unbelief. In John 12 and verse 40, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." This is but yet another instance of people allowing their hearts to be hardened. We read of warnings against hardening the heart in the New Testament. Hebrews 3 and verse 13, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." A similar thought is presented in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2 of those speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. It is a fearful matter to consider that one can become so hardened against the truth of God that even the saving gospel of Christ will make no impression. One can become like the hard ground in the parable of the sower. And even though the seed is planted there, it cannot germinate, it cannot take root, because of the hardness. Proverbs 28:14, "Happy is that man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." Now, by the study of the Scriptures, friend, we learn the ultimate condemnation of those that harden their hearts. In Romans 2, 5 and 6, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up to unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of righteous judgment of God, who will render to unto every man according to his deeds." Those that harden the heart will be the recipients of the wrath of God and his judgment of condemnation. Now, how does the human heart become so hardened? Does it happen suddenly? Is it a gradual process? Is it accomplished by oneself alone? Or are there additional factors involved in the hardening of the heart? Now, Romans 15:4 teaches that we learn from the things written aforetime, that is, from the record of those who lived before us, and recorded in the Old Testament. There is a person in the Old Testament whose heart was hardened, and we can learn from a study of him the answer to our questions regarding a hardened heart. The man was Pharaoh, king king of Egypt, the most powerful nation in the world at his time. He had many people under his dominion, including the Israelites who were in bondage. God called Moses from the burning bush to return to Egypt and to lead Israel to freedom. The events that are involved include the hardening of the heart of Pharaoh. Exodus 7 and 8 tells how Pharaoh's heart was hardened. There were three factors involved. God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Exodus 7 and verse 3 says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my sins and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Secondly, the magicians of Pharaoh's court contributed to the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. Exodus 7:22 reads, And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. And thirdly, Pharaoh was involved in hardening his own heart. Exodus 8 and verse 15, But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart, and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Now let us discover the role of each of these, God, the magicians, and Pharaoh, in the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. God's part of hardening Pharaoh's heart consisted of making a demand on the king. That demand was, Let my people go. Exodus 5 and verse 1. Of course, this was against the political and financial interest of Pharaoh and of Egypt. It offended Pharaoh's pride, his power, his prestige. Such a great king as he was, he refused to obey. He said, Who is Jehovah that I should hearken unto him? But God's part was to make a demand on him. Now, God later sent plagues on the people in the land of Egypt to bring about their recognition of his power and to compel them to comply. Under pressure and the inconvenience of the plagues, Pharaoh would temporarily relent. But once the plague was lifted, he would change his mind and disallow the Israelites' permission to leave. God did not force Pharaoh to harden his heart. He did not make Pharaoh do the thing that was wrong. He still left with Pharaoh the power of choice. He did not make it impossible for him to obey. God made a demand of him and necessitated the making of a decision and the making of a choice to either obey or disobey. But God's role in the hardening of Pharaoh's heart is that he made a demand on the king. The magicians played a different role. When Moses would perform some noteworthy deed, such as turning his rod into a serpent, or turning water into blood, or bringing frogs upon the land, the magicians would seemingly duplicate the deed. Just how and by what power this was done or allowed, we would only be able to speculate. Either through some trickery or sorcery, or possibly God allowed evil powers to perform these works, we're not in a position to determine. But they did something that caused Pharaoh to have no special concern about Moses and his God. The result of their work was to convince Pharaoh to believe a lie, namely, the lie that God was nothing more than were his magicians and did not deserve to be obeyed. These magicians led Pharaoh into being confident in his error, to believe what was untrue, and to stand firm in the wrong. But Pharaoh also hardened his own heart, and this need not be belabored. He viewed the situation, he made up his own mind not to do what God directed. To submit was too damaging to his power, and to his pride, and to his prestige, and his prominence, and to his vanity. And he determined in his own heart not to yield. The day of hardened hearts, friends, is yet with us, even as it existed in New Testament days. The warnings against it are applicable now as ever in any time in the history of man. God still plays a role in hardening the heart. He has given certain commands that he expects man to obey. There are commands to be obeyed in order to enter the kingdom. There are commands to be obeyed if one has become a citizen in his kingdom. His commands necessitate the making of a choice on the part of man. And as in the case with Pharaoh, often his commands run contrary to the evil desires and the behavior and the ambitions and the determinations of sinful people. Before one can live for the Lord, he must surrender his own will to God. Submission means the sacrificing of self to do God's will. Many people simply do not wish to submit to God because they prefer to do their own thing. Some go so far as even to deny the existence of God in order to escape the obligation they have to respect the authority and the word of God. In fact, this attitude is at the very root of atheism today. The gospel preached acts much like his fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9 presents the word of God as a burning fire. Friend, fire can melt wax, but it can also harden clay. What it does depends upon the quality of the material which is brought before it. And the gospel can soften the heart of those who seek truth, but it can harden the heart of those who want to follow their own way. The gospel can be and is designed to be God's means of saving man, but it can also become the means of our condemnation if we reject it. Just as Jesus came into the world to save sinners, refusing him is to bring ourselves into the wrath of God. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, John 3 and verse 17. Do you realize that each time the gospel is heard, it either softens or it hardens the heart? When it is heard, believed, and obeyed, it means spiritual life. But when it is heard and rejected, it will bring spiritual death. So God still plays a role in the hardening of human hearts by requiring man to make a choice as to who will be his master. The hearts of men are often hardened against the truth by those who are somewhat like the magicians, those who teach them error and cause people to repudiate the truth. If the heart is filled with error, there will be no room for the truth. Indeed, the more error one believes, the less open is his heart to the truth. He becomes prejudiced against it, closed to it, unwilling to even examine and investigate the evidences of truth. And just as the magicians caused Pharaoh to believe a lie, false teachers with their false doctrines cause people to believe a lie today. And people labor under a strong delusion, 2 Thessalonians 2:11. And their consciences are seared, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2. For this reason, we must never allow ourselves to be led by the doctrines of men. Jesus taught, "And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch," Matthew 15:14. We must ascertain that what we believe and what we practice is of God, that which is founded upon "Thus saith the Lord." But in addition to God's commands and the false teachers, people today still contribute to hardening their own hearts, placing more importance upon what they think and how they feel and what they want, their pleasure, their material ambitions, their desires, their pride, more upon those things than upon what God has directed through the gospel of Christ. And man makes his own choice to harden his heart. He's not forced to do that. He chooses that way, and can eventually make himself beyond being molded and fashioned in the way of the Lord. And seeing how the hardness of the heart is developed, and noting our warnings against it that we find in the Bible, we must ask ourselves, what of my own heart? Friend, is your heart pliable and moldable? Is it soft and receptive to the truth of God? Consider two final words, hearken and harden. Now they sound very much alike, do they not? But they are so different. To hearken means to hear and heed. To hearken means life here and with God in the hereafter. But to harden, it means to hear but reject. The result is to banish oneself into the eternal fire of hell. So as Hebrews 3 and verse 15 says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." But as Jesus said, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. Mark 7, verse 14. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.